I want to read to you from John chapter 10 this morning, beginning at verse 1. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The person who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the shepherd for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. In today's passage, we see two of the wonderful and beautiful I am statements. Both statements using the analogy of shepherding. Jesus says, I am the gate to the sheep pen. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Shepherding is one of humanity's oldest occupations. And in ancient times, a person's wealth was counted by how many livestock that person had. So in a way, sheep were like currency. A rich and powerful person had a lot of sheep. Sometimes the one who owned the sheep also tended the flocks. Hired shepherds were notoriously flaky, irresponsible, and dishonest. But when the owner of the flock was the shepherd, there was much more care taken. Think of David caring for his family's herd. A shepherd would lead his sheep to pastures with the best grass and the freshest, cleanest water. And at night, the shepherd would build a little rockery for his sheep. The rockery would enclose the sheep, but there would be a gap in the rockery so that the sheep could get in and get out. Now, that might seem like a bad idea to leave a gap in the rockery, because it seemed like anybody could get in. Anybody could get in to steal the sheep, or a wolf could get in and attack the sheep, or the sheep aren't very bright. And so the sheep could get out and get lost and scatter themselves across the fields. But really, the sheep were quite safe, because the shepherd would lay on the ground across the gap in the rockery and become the gate. Nobody could get into the rockery without going through the shepherd, and no sheep could get out of the rockery without getting through the shepherd as well. So in today's passage, Jesus says, I am the gate, and I am the good shepherd. And these two I am statements work together wonderfully. Because the shepherd leads the sheep, calls them, protects them, and lays down in the gap and becomes the gate, holding the sheep securely, protecting them. So the good shepherd and the gate are images of the same thing. The good shepherd lays in the gap in the sheep pen and becomes the gate. There's only one way to enter the sheep pen, and that's through the gate. The context of this passage from John 10 goes back to the beginning of John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, Jesus heals a man who was born blind on the Sabbath. After he healed the man, the blind man and Jesus got into trouble because in order to heal him, Jesus had to spit on the ground, make mud, and put it on the blind man's eyes, and that broke Sabbath law. So the Pharisees questioned the man, and they kicked him out of the synagogue, and then the Pharisees overhear Jesus and the man whose eyes were opened, and that's when Jesus gives our teaching. He says, there's only one way to enter the sheep pen, and that is through him. He is both the shepherd and the gate. But what the Pharisees have done is they have tried to make another way into the sheep pen, and that is through the law. The Pharisees were trying to use a strict and rigid interpretation and observance of the law as a way to get into the sheep pen. Jesus says that using a rigid observance of the law as a way to get into the sheep pen make the Pharisees thieves and robbers. All of the law, all of the tradition of the Jewish people are fulfilled when they go through the gate, when they go through the gate that is Jesus. In our passage, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And elsewhere, Jesus says that he came to fulfill the law and the prophets. But when the law is used as a way to bypass Jesus, then it is a robber. And that's what Jesus says the Pharisees were trying to do. That's why they were so upset that Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath. Because they had tried to make another way into the sheep pen, another way into God's faithful, God's community. They tried to find salvation on their own merit. But Jesus says, I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. Sabbath law is fulfilled when it goes through me. I am Lord over the Sabbath. So Jesus takes Sabbath law and he puts it through the gate. And when he does that, then it does good. Then it restores. Then it fulfills. When Sabbath law itself is used as a gate, when it becomes a gate in itself, then it becomes something to argue over. Then we have to debate about how much work is required to really be work and how much work is too much work and what to do with people who do too much work on the Sabbath. But Jesus says there's only one way to enter the sheep pen, and that's through the gate. And when the law goes through Jesus, goes through the gate, follows a shepherd into the sheep pen, then it restores. Then it finds its true meaning. When something tries to become the gate, then it is a thief and a robber. When it goes through Christ, then it is fulfilled. And this is just as true today as it was back then. All of our yearnings, our hopes, our dreams, our family, our ambitions, when these things become the gate of our life, then they become a thief. They can scatter us. If your job or your vision for your job becomes the gate through which you get your identity, through which you look to be saved, it will scatter you. You are the best employee when you put your job through the gate, when Christ is the Lord of your work. You are the best employer when you put your efforts through the gate that is Christ's lordship. That's what Christ is saying in this passage today. He is the gate. And when you put your family, your job, your vision through the gate, it thrives because Christ gives it meaning. I need to give my wants and my ambitions to God. I need Christ to be the Lord over my life and not try to make my goals and ambitions the gate, because when I do that, they lose their meaning. They become a law. It is only when Christ takes my life through the gate that it has meaning. And the same thing can be said for a church. If a church tries to find a way into the sheep pen other than through Jesus, then it becomes a robber and it will scatter. If a church becomes so focused on its laws, its traditions, its piety, its sense of purity or enlightenment, then it will be a thief. Every reform movement in church history has emerged to call a wandering church back to its true shepherd. To call a church that has become so focused on its laws and on finding other ways into the pen, to call it back and put it through Christ. To reject the impulse to force other ways into the sheep pen. North Seattle Friends is now in a moment of transition. In deciding to leave the yearly meeting, there are many Quakers around the country who will applaud the decision, some who will not applaud the decision. There will be friends who seek to influence us as a community, and this can be an encouragement. It can also be a temptation to look for reinforcement and guidance from external sources. But we cannot put another gate into the pen. Our path leads through Jesus. Our plans, our organization, our energy, our compassion must be directed through the gate. The one with the humble, self-sacrificing, and loving shepherd lying across the entryway. The one with the shepherd who says, "Come to me, for my burden is light." When we try to become the gate, like the Pharisees did, we become confused and we lose our purpose and meaning. When we go through the gate, we thrive. This church is its most faithful when everything we do goes through the gate of Jesus' Lordship. When our agendas, our expectations, our meetings become the gate, then what we do as a church becomes religiosity. It becomes a law. And there is only one way to enter the sheep pen, and that's through the gate. And the good shepherd, Jesus, leads us in through the gate and gathers us and keeps us. And we can trust him. Everything converges at the gate. That is the shepherd. That is Jesus. Middle Eastern shepherds would often have pet names for their sheep. And they would call their sheep in and out of the rockery one by one, by name. And each sheep would pass under the shepherd's hand as he would count them and check them for burrs or injuries. So shepherds were really intimate with their sheep. And we see in verses 3 and 4 of our passage that Jesus is intimate with his sheep. The good shepherd calls his sheep by name. Jesus calls the sheep one by one, and as they pass through the gap in the rockery, he puts his hands on their head to count them and to care for them. And a good shepherd is one who is willing to lay down his life for his sheep. Remember, before David was king of Israel, he was a shepherd. And when a lion or a bear would come and steal the sheep, he would go after the predator and fight the predator off to save the sheep. So shepherding was a very dangerous occupation. But what separates Jesus from others is that Jesus lays down his life for his sheep willingly. When Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ came out a few years ago, there was a big controversy over who killed Jesus? Was it the Jews or was it the Romans? And obviously they were the historical actors at that time, and they are implicated in the death of Jesus just as we all are implicated in the death of Jesus. But what we see in the Gospels is the story of Jesus willingly laying down his life for his sheep. Jesus' life was not taken from him. He laid it down of his own accord. He is not a victim. In fact, there are many times when the Pharisees tried to arrest Jesus, but couldn't because it was not yet time. Jesus chose when to lay down his life, self-sacrificially. But as we see in verses 17 and 18, unlike other shepherds, Jesus lays down his life for the purpose of taking it up again and conquering death. And in that, there is a promise. Even death goes through the gate that is Christ. Even death goes through the gate, and Jesus is Lord over death. Jesus conquers death and saves his sheep. Jesus Christ Superstar by Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber is, for me, always an interesting story of the life of Jesus, because it's the Jesus narrative from the perspective of people outside the church. And because they're outside the church, they ask the questions we all should be asking. Rice and Lloyd Webber view the story of Jesus as a scandal, and it raises questions. In this movie, they struggle with their own questions about God, about Jesus, about what that means for us. And one of my scenes is at the very end. Jesus had been crucified. If you remember, at the end of the movie, Jesus is crucified. You can see the silhouette of three crosses set against a red sky. And that's where they leave it. They leave it with these three crosses up there, because that's the question. What happens? What happens next? Is that all there is? After Jesus laid down his life, did he then take it back up? Did he rise from the dead? And set against that blood red sky, the silhouette of the cross asked that question. Jesus was crucified. Now what? And then I missed it the first several times I watched the movie. But you can, at the very end, you can see, right, set against the dark background of the hill, you can barely make out the shape of a shepherd walking at the base of the hill with a flock of sheep following behind. And it's so subtle that you could easily miss it. With the cross in the background, there is a shepherd walking in the foreground, almost hidden in the hills, with a flock of sheep following. There's Jesus leading his sheep. And that is why we are here today, because Jesus is still leading and calling his flock by name, leading us to green pastures, and not just to life, but life in the full. I think this passage speaks to us today because we are all searching. We are all looking for something. We are all on a journey. We're trying to follow the voice of Christ in our lives. We might not know where that will take us tomorrow or the next day. We might not know where we are right now. We might not even know what we're looking for. But we're here because we are seeking the Good Shepherd. And there is Jesus walking in front of us, leading us, calling us, leading us to green pastures, to new places as a community, as individuals. And when we follow our shepherd, we thrive. We are fulfilled, no matter what adversities we encounter. Because Jesus conquered death, we don't have to fear death. Because Jesus leads us, we do not have to fear getting lost or falling behind. Because Jesus counts us and calls us by name, we don't have to fear being forgotten. Jesus says that his sheep know his voice and follow him. This is comforting because God makes it possible for us to recognize Jesus' voice, to follow him, to respond to the nudgings of our inward teacher. As we enter open worship, let's listen to the voice of our shepherd, the voice of our shepherd who's guiding us as a church into new fields, into new pastures, but who promises that we can always know the voice of Christ, and if we follow that voice, we will be led safely. We will be cared for. What does it look like to be a sheep in Jesus' care? What does it look to be a church whose identity is as sheep following a shepherd?